I thought that perhaps tonight, in prayer meeting night, we might consider together the subject of intercession, the subject of prayer on behalf of others. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. And I would like to consider together the subject of intercession with you. I'd like to look at some very familiar scriptures that are examples of intercession, and see what lessons we can learn for ourselves from those scriptures. The first I would like to consider with you is in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Intercession is a prayer in which we draw to God's attention the needs of others. Sometimes, if we're not careful, our prayers and supplications are mainly centered around our own needs. And yet, the privilege of interceding on behalf of others is one that every Christian, as a priest, should enjoy. It's an incredibly high privilege, and hopefully we'll see something of that privilege in the scriptures that we consider together. Genesis chapter 18, we have the story of God appearing to Abraham. And Abraham having the opportunity to make a meal for these servants of the Lord that come to him. But in verse 16 of Genesis 18, we read, the men rose up from thence and looked on toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them, bringing them on their way. And Jehovah said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely be great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Jehovah to do justice and judgment, that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. Jehovah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before Jehovah. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be also as the wicked that be far from me, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Jehovah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto them, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And then he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And then Abraham said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And Jehovah went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham turned unto his place. There's a few things in relation to the subject of intercession that I would like to draw your attention to here. One is what we were singing about. Abraham drew near. One of the things about intercession is it's communion with God. And it has to do with a very special closeness that we can enjoy, because God enjoys it when he hears from his own concerning others. Abraham has suffered rather harshly at the hands of some down through the years, because they say that he stopped a little short. He should have kept praying. He should have prayed for less than 10. And maybe Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. But I think that if we, aside having to see Abraham in a coming day, if we stop and notice, I think we might see that that might not have been the purpose of this intercession. The first profitable thing that we enjoy, besides the nearness to God when we intercede for others, is the fact that intercession doesn't bring God's will into line with our desires. It brings us in line with God's will and with his knowledge and with his desires. And that is crucial in understanding how intercession works. Abraham came to know the will of God for Sodom and Gomorrah through his intercession for the place. It wasn't that he was going to change God's mind about what God's plan was concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was going to learn what God was going to do and what God would require. He wasn't going to change God's holiness or righteousness as far as putting off judgment that was due to come to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so one of the first points in intercession is that it's a time when we can draw near to commune with God. And it's a time when we can learn God's will. Turn over, if you would, to Exodus. A portion in scripture that Brother Alec referred to in his prayer. Exodus chapter 33. This is, we break in the story and we find Moses, and Israel shortly after they had made this, golden calf while Moses was up on the mount receiving the law from God. And, in Exodus chapter 33 we read, "And Jehovah said unto Moses, Depart and go up thence, thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." That was what he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he says to Moses, "I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornament. Verse 12. And this is Moses interceding for the people. "Moses said unto Jehovah, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And Jehovah said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." If you stop and think about this, it was a rather precarious position Moses found himself in. He was standing before a very angry God. God was very angry with his people because of what they had done. And he said to Moses that if he wasn't careful, he was going to consume the whole nation. This thing about intercession is something that God truly enjoys when his people intercede for others, and that is when they associate themselves with them. Moses hadn't been a part of the making of the golden calf. Moses had been up in the presence of the Lord. But Moses says to God, "Don't send me and thy people." He puts himself with the people of the Lord in a time when the Lord was upset with them. Daniel did something similar in his great confession in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, says in verse 3, "I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto Jehovah my God and made my confession." Now Daniel, you remember, is one of two men in Scripture that there is not recorded any wrongdoing about, Joseph being the other. Doesn't mean that they were sinless, but Scripture records no wrongdoing. but Daniel makes my confession. Listen to his confession. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and loving kindness to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servant and the prophet, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Verse 17, And now therefore, our God, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolation, in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not thine own sake, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and for thy people are called by thy name. You remember the Pharisee and the publican that the Lord pointed out to the disciples? The Pharisee, the publican, he smote his breast and he prayed to God, forgive me for I am a sinner. And the Pharisee, you remember his prayer? I thank thee, O God, that I am not like these sinners. That's not intercession. That's not even the way to begin intercession. Moses, on account of the people, sided with the people. And Daniel took their sins on himself. He pleaded for the people, and he made his confession for their sins. And that's part of the attitude that's necessary if we are going to intercede on behalf of others. Again, intercession is an incredible privilege that we have of making known the needs of others to God. The needs of the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 33 was that they needed the presence of God with them if they were going to make this journey to the promised land. In Daniel chapter 9, if they were going to return to the promised land, they were going to need God's forgiveness and God's guidance and God's help. And so it was that Daniel and Moses, two great servants of the Lord, interceded on behalf of his people by associating themselves with the people. One more example is found in Numbers. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, there is a problem in the nation of Israel while they're still in the desert. Dathan and Abiram, they, along with Korah, Aaron's son, question God and God's ways, and God judges them. But when he does judge them, the people in verse 41 murmur against God, against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people. They blamed God's judgment on Dathan and Abiram. They blamed it on Moses and Aaron. And that angered God, and he sent a plague. And the plague started to destroy the congregation of Israel. And in verse 44, we read, Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from Jehovah, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague had was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. That was a pretty risky thing Aaron did. He really put himself in a dangerous position for the people. He stood before the plague between the living and the dead. The plague was coming through the land. It was headed right for the rest of the nation, those that hadn't already been destroyed. And Aaron, as their priest, interceded on their behalf. And he stood between them and the plague, and the plague was stopped. It doesn't seem like there's any record that Aaron was too concerned about his own safety when he did this. It was something that was something he had to do, and he was willing to do it for the Lord's people. Another aspect of interceding on behalf of the Lord's people. But I suspect that our best example of an intercessor is the Lord himself. Let's read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we have the example of our high priest and his intercession for us. We also have the encouragement that we should intercede for others. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. The Lord Jesus is the only one who is called a great high priest. That word great, we sort of have lost a sense of its meaning now because we use superlatives with such frequency that they don't really mean what they're supposed to mean. A very common word in our vocabulary, at least in the States, is awesome now. Everything is awesome. Awesome this, awesome that. And yet in Scripture, the only thing that is awesome is God. Back in the days of the Bible, the word great meant something that there was no equal to. And there never had been an equal to. And there won't be an equal to. And the Lord Jesus Christ is, there had been other high priests. But there had never been a high priest like the Lord Jesus. He is the great high priest. He is above, he is far above any other high priest. Now, the high priest in Israel's day was the only one, you remember, that was allowed into the holiest of holies. He was allowed once a year to bring the blood of atonement into the holiest of holies and place it on the mercy seat. And he was to do it for the people, to make atonement for the people. The Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest, it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 14, has passed through into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. You see, the writer is emphasizing, the Spirit of God is emphasizing through the writer, the fact that Jesus, the man, is now in the presence of God, interceding on our behalf. He has a special place of nearness to God's heart, doesn't he? Because of what he was willing to do. God has highly exalted him. He is the son of his love because of what the step he was willing to take and going to Calvary. So like Abraham, he has drawn near unto God. Legend has it that in the latter years, the 400 silent years of Jewish history between the Old Testament and the New Testament, I said legend, I didn't say the scriptures. Legend has it that they would tie a rope on the high priest's ankle, because if his sacrifice wasn't accepted when he went behind that veil, he was going to be killed, and they didn't want his body in there polluting the holiest of holies. So they put a rope around it in order to pull it out. The Lord Jesus has passed through the heavens almost 2,000 years ago. He's still there. His sacrifice was accepted by God because it was a perfect sacrifice. Because it was the only sacrifice that could forever take away sin and will throughout the eternal ages stand as our reason for being there. When this man, Jesus, had offered one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus has passed into the heavens, into the presence of God for us, as our great high priest. Let us hold fast our confession that he is the Son of God. Let us hold on to our confession that Jesus is the Christ. Because his sacrifice has been accepted. Because he is in heaven today. The man is alive. And he's in heaven today as our great high priest, interceding for us. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. One of the problems with a high priest in Israel's day was they had a habit of dying. And it was sort of like a family doctor, excluded that are present, of course. But the problem with a family doctor is, once you get them to know all your aches and pains and all your illnesses, they up and die on you. And you have to turn around and get another one and break him in all over again. And that was the same problem they had in Israel with a high priest. They get to know, well, all the things that weren't really your fault, you know, the things that you had done and your weaknesses that weren't really your weaknesses, they were, a lot of times it was somebody else's fault. And they got to know you and you got to know them, and then just when you had them broke in, they die. And they have to bring along another high priest. And this new high priest would have to, sometimes he might not be as amiable or as friendly as the last one. This man ever lived to make intercession for us. The difference between this high priest and all the high priests that have ever gone before is that this man lives to die no more. And he is our high priest, our great high priest in heaven now. And he has, like Moses and like Daniel, sided with his people. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was willing to be made sin for us. That is our high priest. And that is why he is able to intercede in a special way. He has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet sin apart. That was another difference between him as a great high priest and all the other high priests that had ever gone before. The other high priests on the Day of Atonement had to first make atonement for themselves before they could make atonement for the people. This man did no sin. He was sinless. He is sinless. Not only didn't he sin, he couldn't sin. He is the Son of God. Because of that, he is able to intercede on our behalf 2,000 years after he entered into the very presence of the living God. Verse 16 is our exhortation. Now, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is what privilege we can enjoy now, is to come boldly before the holy throne of a holy God, because we have no need to fear the judgment of our sins, because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So we can come boldly before that throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This isn't just for us. This isn't where we just go into God's presence and remind him of what we need for ourselves. It's a tremendous privilege for God's people to be able to intercede on behalf of others. We can do it. It allows us to draw near to God, to commune with him, to learn his will for whatever situation we are praying about. It gives us a special closeness and a special bond with God's people. Sometimes it might even put us at risk. Sometimes we might have to stand between the living and the dead. But the Lord Jesus did that for us as our example. And we have the privilege to continue now to intercede on behalf of others. Because our high priest, our great high priest, ever lived to make intercession for us. The hymn writer has said, by faith I look where Christ is gone, and see upon his Father's throne a man with glory crowned. His brow is marred, and on his thigh whence flows the cleansing crimson tide. The marks of love are found. I look again, and now I see God, this blessed man engaged for me, his hand uplifted high. Before the throne of God he pleads, God's great high priest he intercedes, and thus preserves me nigh. What love he washed my sins away. Thus boldness in the judgment day that thus for me were made. What grace he would, I should his glory see when he returned to me. For the privilege is ours today to be able to intercede for others. May we be like Abraham, like Moses, like Daniel, like Aaron, like our great high priest, and avail ourselves of the privilege of praying for others. May it be so for his name. Father, we thank thee again for our great high priest. We thank thee again that thy son has passed into the heavens, and he is there at this very moment interceding on our behalf. We readily confess that we do not know where we would be if it wasn't for his intercessory work. We thank thee for it. Help us, Father, we pray, to be able to learn to come boldly before thy great throne of grace on behalf of others, to seek help and to seek mercy and to seek grace in time of need, that others might know the presence of the living God because of our intercession in their time of need. We thank thee again for him and for all that he is doing for us now on our behalf at thy right hand. It's in his name we pray. Amen.